Welcome back to your morning conversation here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner. And joining me this morning is Dr. Clarence Green. You might know him as police chief at Northwest Missouri State University or any of the other variety of roles that he has served here at Northwest, but that time is coming to an end. He is retiring effective this Sunday, March 31st. So I guess the first question would be, you know, after, you know, everything you've done for the university, all the different roles, all the different hats you've worn, what is it that led to just deciding time's over?
Yeah, well, this is something I've been thinking about for the last several years, and for sure the last four, of what's next for me. And something I want to do is probably transition perhaps from a peer law enforcement role into doing something else where I can really make some systemic and some policy changes to help out folks of low income from diverse communities and really just improve access into education, whether that's K-12 or whether that's in higher education. That's the pathway that I really want to put myself in so that I can help individuals just have an opportunity to develop and grow more. And again, whether that's in K-12 or higher ed. You know, higher ed has a deep root for me in my heart because I know what the benefits of education, training has done for me in my life. And I would love to help others work through that and improve that access for folks, especially coming from rural or lower income communities or diverse communities or metropolitan. You know, it doesn't have to be my exact experience. I think my story and my passion could resonate with a broad group. And just my knowledge of education, I have a little bit better understanding, having worked in it and having varying roles within education, that I feel like I can expedite some processes and really dive deep into some systems that we might have that may be barriers.
You said something you've been thinking about for a few years. I think, you know, the pandemic, was there an event or something like the pandemic or maybe the time during that? Or I'm not trying to force the pandemic answer on you, but was there something that kind of just like started this ball rolling?
No, not at all. Just and just growing and learning more with different roles that I've had around the institution, working with different individuals around enrollment, access, scholarshiping, all of those things probably is what's really pushed me and put me into this narrowed focus of improving access to education. And so I wouldn't necessarily say it was the pandemic. It probably started before that for me, just through some experiences I had with working with enrollment challenges.
And so I mentioned at the beginning, different roles, different hats, something we talked about last time when we interviewed. And of course, that last interview was before, or it was either the first week or before you had took the role of interim president at Northwest. And, you know, since then, it's kind of been interesting because you fell back into the role and now it's like, all right, well, I've been here a year, so I guess I'm heading out. Yep. What was it? Was there anything during your time as interim president that kind of helped, you know, guide you mentally, emotionally to this idea of wanting to help people?
Yes, I truly being in that role, you're in a unique position to really influence policy, systemic issues that really impact access, you know, but because you're the CEO of the organization. Some of that did influence me to really think about my work in that area. And primarily, I had the opportunity to work with KC Scholars, our enrollment people here at the university, our finance people here at the university, our academic units, on how do we make this viable for Northwest as well as KC Scholars so that we could improve access to education for a group of students that are in the Kansas City area. And so working in that directly really helped solidify the path I had already thought about going down. And so I've struggled with, how do I help with that access? Is that by being a success coach? You know, I talked about that the last time, and I've worked with Dr. Allison Hoffman on thinking through that. Or is it better for me, due to my knowledge and my passion just around policy, is that a better lens for me to work on to really influence and impact more folks rather than, you know, in a success coaching role, it'd be more of one-offs, smaller pop, but in a larger role, perhaps influencing that policy would be best suited for me.
And in that, you know, last interview before or during, or I still can't remember when during the presidency, but,
yes, sir.
You know, during that last interview, when it, going over all the different roles, how you ended up here at Northwest, from the St. Louis area up here,
yes,
football, law enforcement,
yes.
And then, so, you know, I feel like most people, when they do finally, you know, go to the employer or boss and say, hey, I think I'm done, you know, everyone's always a little unsure of what the reaction will be and how people will, you know, weigh in on it. How has the reaction been since you made the announcement a month ago?
Oh, it's been great. And as you know, and you probably had heard this beforehand, I had kind of primed people for this probably a couple of years out. You know, when we talked at our opening employee meeting, I kind of set the primer that, you know, I'm not seeking this role as long term, and I'm not even seeking to stay at Northwest long term, that I'm going to be looking for that next chapter in my life. And so I think folks have received that well. Everyone who works in university police or worked in the Division of Culture, this was not a surprise because I've talked, again, you know, we've had conversations 4 years out. This was my planning because I'm a planner, you know, and so this was part of my agenda, part of my plans. And so I think the reaction has not been devastating or counter the institution or the organization. You know, I talked with Dr. Tatum about this very early on, as well as all of my NLT colleagues. And so this is no surprise, I believe, to the organization at all.
And what have been some of your crowning achievements over the years that you kind of look back on and go, oh, I can really hang my hat on that and that?
Well, it's hard to say that they're mine. Everything that I've ever been a part of has always been team-based. And so some of the things that I'm very proud of is we talked about those a little bit off air, you know, having two colleagues, Anthony and Amanda, attend that FBI National Academy is something that's been very, poignant for me within my career, but also starting Safe Rides, helping work with that. You know, that's a program, harm reduction program, successfully reduced DWIs in our community by 66%. No fatality accidents of a university student as a driver since we've put that program in place. You know, that is huge. This is 20th year of service to our community, community-based policing initiatives, you know, whether we impacted working in teams, especially with the Northwest Leadership Team, Human Resources, you know, we were able to give the largest increase to our employees last year. We were able to do some one-time funding, some shift differentials. We were able to, you know, really work at lifting up those who are our lowest paid employees with the minimum pay rate adjustment a few years ago. You know, all of those things are crowning achievements. But the biggest things are, I believe, is just daily having the opportunity to work with students and be reverse mentored by many students just about life and their experiences and what can we be doing to improve those experiences. And so perhaps mostly those little micro things perhaps is what makes my experience at Northwest fantastic. You know, there's never been a bad day. Sure, there's been a ton of bad things and some bad events, and probably shouldn't say a ton, but all of those things have been great lessons for me and blessings, and we've hopefully learned from those things and made a lot of improvements. There's not anything. I could talk about 1,000 things that have been crowning jewels for me because all of them gave me an opportunity to learn, to reflect on, to grow, and hopefully just been able to serve others in the proper way doing their time with us.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of stole my follow-up question of, you know, I don't want to say failures, but kind of shortcomings and what you took away from those. But you kind of said it there. You know, you learn from your successes and your failures.
Oh.
You know, what skills do you think you're taking with you from Northwest into your new direction?
Thousands of things. Number one is relationships, something that I probably struggled with when I started. Communication skills that have improved greatly. Still got a long way to go, but they have improved greatly. How to just understand processes, how to be systematic, how to be clear, how to use empathy, how to listen, you know, how to think about alignment, how to think about sharing those actions, team-based decisions, and also sometimes just being in command and making a decision, but also following up and doing after action reviews. There's thousands of lessons I've learned through my time here, and I know I'm a better person and a better leader because of my work and my experience. And I've been very blessed. Like you said, I've had a lot of opportunities to do a lot of different things other than policing. And so all of those things have allowed me experiences I don't think I could have ever garnered anywhere else.
And I don't want to assume, but I am. I assume you're going to be hanging around the area because your wife recently got the big job in the Maryville R2 School District, which congratulations to her.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we're very proud.
And I assume you do not want to leave that really nice house that you have just outside town.
Well, it's a little bit still up in the air.
Oh, okay.
We're going to be in Maryville, Missouri, because this is our home. This is where we want to help raise our grandchildren. You know, we want them to come here. And you know, we only have one grandchild. We have one grandson, and he's going to be a Bearcat here in about 17 years or sooner because he's super smart. But I'm not limiting myself to just staying here. You know, I might move away for a short period of time in order to do something different because I'm not done working yet. I'm still really young, and I took a few days off here about a month ago, and the list of my wife left me, it confirmed that I'm not done working yet. and so I'm going to get back out into the workforce. I'll take a little time to do a few things, but I plan to get back into the workforce.
And, you know, not only the relationships you made on campus, but in the Maryville community and the Northwest Missouri region, is there any aspect of, you know, because I feel like for you, you wanted to feel comfortable with where the campus police department, the university, I feel like you would have wanted them in good hands before you headed out. Do you feel that way about the community as well because you were such a big part of it?
Oh, we have a great community. I'm a part of 10 Squared Men, and we just did an award today. You know, we have 147 members, I think, so we raised $14,700 every quarter, four quarters in a year, and we give to a service group or an organization or a not-for-profit organization. I think we're doing tremendous things within our community, within our county, within our region, and we're only going to continue to grow and get better. You know, when you think about our Main Street, our 4th Street corridor, all of those improvements that we've made that's going to change our community moving forward, as well as just some of the sense of belonging that we have within our community, within our county, within our region, that we've really pushed out, where we're making sure everyone has a voice and a plate at the table to express their voice as well. I think we're doing tremendous things. We still got a lot of work to do, but there's always going to be work to do because, you know, we're chasing excellence, and hopefully we never get there, but we always keep chasing it.
And so I guess to be a little bit more direct and blunt, what is it that you see in your future? You know, maybe career-wise, maybe personal life-wise, what do you see happening, you know, maybe 5-10 years from now?
Well, 10 years from now, I'm probably really will be retired. but 5 years from now, I sure still hope I'm working. I don't know directly, but what I'm going to be putting my energy in is something within that K. So from kindergarten to post-secondary education, I'm going to be doing something in that field to work for is putting some sort of in a position where I can help influence policy to really impact access for students. You know, and that's students from rural areas, low income, and diverse communities.
What do you see as the biggest challenge right now in the K through 12 system?
Well, I'm sure and this is me not speaking for, because I've never worked in the K-12 system.
Okay.
But I imagine some of the challenges that I want to work for is those students realizing that they can thrive in a post-secondary education setting. Now, whether that's 2-year, whether that's a certificate, or whether that's a 4-year institution, or if they want to go on greater. Because we know how AI is going to impact us, and technology is going to impact us the rest of our lives. And what I saw some data this morning from a report that was released that AI is really going to have an impact on those high school graduates. And so you're going to need more. You're going to need some sort of tertiary education. And I want to be a part of those conversations and setting things in place that we can influence folks to get some sort of certificate, some sort of degree, some sort of extra training so that it will help them. You know, I got a police officer certification, which allows me many benefits, you know, where I could go get another position in another organization doing policing. And so I just want to influence folks to think about those things of adding to their repertoire so that they could be more marketable and adaptable for a future that's going to change very rapidly.
So I would say it's more of a big city, Kansas City, St. Louis, you know, it's more or less talked about there. It's more or less on people's minds there because there is so many more technology jobs and companies. Do you feel like this area is kind of not necessarily neglecting AI, but kind of not necessarily taking it as seriously as other places because of the rural nature of Maryville?
I think we are taking it seriously, and I think it's going to potentially impact us more. Because if our employers, where we have trouble hiring people in smaller communities more so than large, it's my belief and my feeling, we're going to have to put things in place because of the limits of the people population that we have to actually do the work. And so if we put those AI features in, it's really going to limit those graduates and their potentials. And so we're going to have to do something different in our area, probably at a faster pace than what they would have to do in a metropolitan area. I think they're more built to absorb some job changes where we're not.
Have you taken, I know you enjoy education, not only working in it, but, you know, educating yourself and learning more. Have you taken any coursework on artificial intelligence?
No, I had the opportunity to listen to Dr. Voss speak about AI. And then I work with Dr. Egon Heidendahl, who's been going all around the country speaking about AI. And so we meet monthly and have had conversations around AI. I've downloaded some AI features. I've been kind of doing the self-learning, you know, at this phase. I haven't taken any educational courses on it other than my talks with Dr. Voss and Dr. Heidendahl, who I believe are experts in the field. As well as then my own self-learning on it. I've downloaded to the chat GPT. I've played around with it. I've talked with others about it. And I believe it's a powerful tool. It can aid us and it's going to help us, but man, it's moving fast.
Yeah, it's kind of like, so when I tell people what AI is like now, it's kind of like the Nokia phone. It's like, oh, the Nokia phone's here. Oh, it flips open. It does this. I can send texts. I can do this. But the thing about AI and the Nokia is we're just a few steps away from it turning into the smartphone and completely changing everything.
Yes.
Do you feel like, you know, the university in Maryville is prepared for that switch?
I don't know if we're prepared for it yet. I don't think we've had those type of, we don't have enough people around the table yet to say we're prepared for it. I think we're all thinking about it a little bit, but I think we're going to have to be a lot more intentional about what will this mean for us in our community and in our region. I do not think we're there yet.
Okay. And looking into AI, how do you feel like it could help benefit low-income and K-12 students going into the future?
I think it definitely has some benefits with improving how you access information, how you utilize information. But also some of those things are scary for me. And that's what I'm trying to work on right now with myself, is not being that laggard, you know, to where I'm automatically a roadblock. Or someone told me the term cave. I don't want to be a cave person, you know, a citizen that's virtually against everything. You know, how do I become a person that really still or is able to think critically about the use of AI in a pure educational setting? Because I got more worries than I have answers right now. Like, I worry about, do folks not do the writing and communication piece as serious anymore because we now have some things that will do all of that for us. You know, so that makes me a little nervous because I want folks to still learn why it's important to know what a verb, a pronoun, a noun is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we just go off on a really long AI tangent,
That's not my expertise.
No. I'll go ahead and try and wind this down. What has been some of your favorite memories from your time here, whether, you know, as a student and football player, even, you know, as president or police chief, you know, what have been some of your favorite memories?
I think just seeing folks grow and change become something greater than what they thought they would be. Always my most powerful moments, you know, when I think about a lot of students that I've interacted with, when I've seen them on their first day or at their worst, and then I've seen them on their best day and their best days of moving forward, have always been the greatest for me, you know. And I love those moments, and I've had several of those. That's what's been the greatest for me, seeing people grow, develop, and achieve beyond what they thought was possible, and sometimes even what I thought was possible. I love when people have proved me wrong, and they've managed to be something greater than what we've all ever imagined. And I think those moments are very special to me. And that's what I'm going to miss the most, you know, because when you make that decision to retire, you know, it isn't as smooth as what you think. You know, like, I've had every range of emotion, you know. I've been angry at myself. I've been mad. I've been sad. I've been excited, you know, scared. You know, all of those things are going on in my mind, because change is difficult. But I know I need this, and this is what I've prepared for, and greater is to come.
Okay. Well, those are all the questions I have. Is there anything you wanted to add or just mention real quick?
No, what do you think about AI?
Oof, that's a loaded
That's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
But no, seriously, anything else?
No, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity. It's been great. Like I said, everything has been a blessing to me. I appreciate all the opportunities that so many people have given me and breathed into me. You know, I was talking with Dr. Leslie Galbraith a little bit yesterday through a social media platform. You know, she was someone who saw something in me very own, even before I saw it in myself, and really, you know, knocked me upside the head and made me do some things that I didn't want to do, but turned out to be the greatest things for me, you know, and I want to be that type of person for others.
Awesome. All right, Clarence, thanks for joining us this morning. Once again, that is Dr. Clarence Green, who is ending his time at Northwest this Sunday, March 31st. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW.